Brothers and sisters, grace to you and peace from God who is our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus who is the Christ, our Messiah. Amen. Winston Churchill once said that success is stumbling from failure to failure with no loss of enthusiasm. Michael Jordan once said, I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I've failed over and over and over again in my life, and that is why I succeed. Thomas Edison once wrote, I have not failed. I have just found 10,000 ways that don't work. Corrie ten Boom, who wrote a seminal book called The Hiding Place, wrote, if the Gospels are truly the pattern of God's activity, then defeat is only the beginning. Failure. Defeat. Not measuring up. Great leaders, great athletes, great thinkers, great writers all have a common theme associated with their greatness. They often experienced failure and defeat. Winston Churchill was a controversial and out-of-office politician in the 1930s, before he became prime minister and helped to lead England through its most perilous moments of World War II. But then in the aftermath of World War II, in 1945, he lost power. His party lost the election, and he was no longer prime minister. Michael Jordan, arguably the greatest basketball player ever, was cut from his varsity team when he was a sophomore, and he used this, and it drove him throughout his career. Even at his Hall of Fame announcement, he invited the kid who got the position instead of him to sit there in the audience as yet another reminder of how his own failure had driven him. During the first part of his years, of his NBA career, he could never get the Bulls to the championship. Edison had worked many times and in many places throughout his life and was seen not always as someone who had it together, yet he, through all of his failures, was able to be one who shaped our world forever. Corrie ten Boom was a Dutch Christian. Her family sheltered Jews during the Holocaust. And while they were doing that, however, their family was arrested. They were put into a prison camp, and her father and her sister were killed. But then she returned. She returned to her home in the Netherlands. She opened rehabilitation camps for survivors, and she began a teaching ministry that went throughout Europe, and it identified in particularly places that she could bring reconciliation to former Nazis. You see, often it is from failure that so many of our greatest ideas, events, and personal triumphs emerge. Many people have achieved great things. Who have achieved great things believe that their failures are what helped them ultimately succeed. I remember watching an interview of a man who had gone on to become a decorated Navy SEAL. And in the interview, he shared about being pushed to his physical limits during the most rigorous and demanding part of their training. And during this time, the most rigorous part, he had been awake for 3 consecutive days until finally they said, you guys can have an hour and a half to sleep. But in that moment, when all he wanted to do was sleep, he could not fall asleep. And it was at that moment that he felt like quitting. And just getting to that place of wanting to quit was for him a failure. It was as if he had actually quit. But what he found in that moment is a source of strength when he was honest about his failure. Because he came to see that failure is not simply inevitable, but that failure can be invaluable. Failure is what spurred Churchill to, after he was tossed out of office, after leading England through the World War II, he came back and won the prime ministry again and did that until he retired in 1955. It drove Michael Jordan to become perhaps the greatest basketball player ever and one of the greatest clutch athletes of all time. It empowered Edison to keep trying until he got it right, and it served Corrie ten Boom and her family as they sought to risk their life and risk reconciliation and forgiveness in a war-torn Europe after World War II. So if it's true that some of these great models of achievement and success say that failure was something that helped them grow and become who they were, then why do we have such a hard time with it ourselves? In my role as a pastor, I see people struggling in life with failure of all different kinds. Perhaps it's personal, or maybe it's professional. Oftentimes it's spiritual. The reality is, though, that we are going to fail. We're going to fail with our spouse or our partner. We're going to fail with our kids. You're going to fail in your profession. You're going to fail with your friendships. You're going to fail with yourself. And you're going to fail in your relationship with Christ. But you're in good company. Because all you need to do is read the Bible. And you see that all the people that we hold up as visions of sainthood in our Bible, Abraham and Sarah and Jacob and Moses and David and the disciples and Paul, and the list goes on and on. The Scriptures tell us a story about how God used people of faith who fail and disappoint and don't measure up time and time and time again. I occasionally invite someone to worship who responds with something along the lines of, "Oh, I would come to church, but if I did, you know, the church would probably fall down." And I usually respond something to the effect of, "Well, you know, our church, Bethel, I don't know about others, but ours is full of sinners. Our church is full of people who fail, full of people who don't always make the best choices, and people who can be said to be hypocrites. However, we can always use one more. So come join us at 8:30 or 11 o'clock. You see, our pews, and most certainly this pulpit, are filled with sinners who struggle with faith and don't always portray faith with grace and love. But the most beautiful thing, I believe, about life, this life that we share together with each other as a Bethel community, the life we share with other Jesus followers, is that our worst moments, our most desperate experiences, our most sinful actions do not ultimately define us. Jesus will never give up on you. Jesus just keeps on forgiving. And Jesus calls us to do the same with each other. Simply look at our gospel lesson today. Did you notice where the disciples are? They're back home. They're in Galilee, fishing. Back to the same old grind of daily life. And if you ask me, this is quite wonderful, because this is what life looks like for us. What were you doing before you came to church today? You were living your life. And then you have come here to be encountered by Jesus. And then what will you do from here? You will go back to living your life. Just like the disciples, you have heard the news that Jesus is raised from the dead. And what do? We return to our lives. To be sure, they're not the same, because we know that Jesus is on the loose. and can show up anytime, anywhere. He showed up amidst a locked room of fearful disciples. And he will show up in those places where we try to hide amidst our fear and uncertainty. And he will show up when we are simply living our lives. Whether you're driving down the street and you're listening to the radio and a song sparks a thought, or perhaps you're reading and something makes you feel the presence of God, or perhaps you're on a walk, or maybe you're just spending time with your children, or you're at work and you've been able to help someone through what you do and that helps you reconnect. That is Jesus. That is the gift of the Holy Spirit coming near and reminding you of His presence. We have a bumper sticker on the refrigerator in the church office. And it says this: Jesus is coming. Look busy. And it's there to remind us that Jesus is coming. And it's not just that He's coming at the end of time to fulfill the kingdom of God and that experience for us all. But it's that Jesus is coming now because He is on the loose. And He will meet us, He will surprise us, He will challenge us, He will console us. And yes, brothers and sisters, He will forgive us. For that is what a God on the loose, a Lord risen from the tomb, does. And you know, we can look busy. We can look busy with life, or busy with our doubts, or busy with anxiety or stress, or busy with uncertainty, or busy with anger and frustration, or we can be busy doing good religious stuff, or you know what, perhaps we're busy failing. But no matter how busy we may believe we are, or how busy we get, Jesus continues to pursue. To pursue you in those moments of your life, to offer you a new path, a new experience, a new way, dare I say, new life. Did you notice how many times Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" 3 times. How many times did Peter deny Jesus? 3 times. For as often as we may fail, our Lord offers us as many opportunities to be faithful again. And that should give you freedom. Freedom to embrace Jesus, because He doesn't count your failures against you, and neither should you, and neither should anyone else. Because we all fail. But by grace, there are times when we don't. There are times when you are the best disciple Jesus could ever want. There are times you're the greatest spouse your spouse could ever hope for. There are times when you're the greatest friend and parent that anyone could ever know. There are times when you serve others with a humility that changes their life forever. And there are times when this place, Bethel, will be such a blessing to those in our midst and outside of our midst that the kingdom comes near heaven on earth. Despite stumbling from failure to failure, friends, do not lose your enthusiasm for this gospel. But in courage and in confidence, dare to keep at your faith, to keep at your marriages, your relationships, your professions, your studies, and a future that may at times seem uncertain and daunting. In short, dare to follow Jesus. For in doing so, you will come to see that you are tending the sheep and feeding the lambs. If only because we are not doing it alone. we have each other. And we have Jesus, who is already there with us. He's feeding, tending, and loving you and me in this world. And he's been doing it all along. In Jesus' name, amen.